But we pray that he'll have a good services out in Missouri. I'm sure he'll enjoy being out there for a while. But we miss him dearly. Let's start our service this morning by singing hymn number 222. Is that right? 222. Stan's going to lead the singing this morning. My voice is terrible, so we'll get through this. We'll get through this some way. All right, 222. Thank you, Stan. All right, let me turned in our scriptures this morning. We're taking our scripture from 1 Timothy. Second Timothy, chapter 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Paul says, "Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which He's given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." Does anybody have any special requests this morning before we have prayer? We certainly want to remember Tim and Debbie. Lord, give them a safe trip back home. And bless Tim in the pulpit this morning. All right. Our Father, we approach Your throne of grace once again this day, thanking You for Your great mercy and love toward us in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanking You, Lord, for this another opportunity to enter in, Lord, to the house of prayer to worship You. We pray, Father, that You would help us in worship this morning, united in prayer and supplication, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, praying, O Lord, that Thy divine Spirit will be with us in our worship. For we know that there is no true worship, Lord, except that it be in spirit and in truth. And we pray, O Lord, that You'd help us, Lord, to enter into Your Word this morning, that we might say right things about Thee. Lord, that You might give us Your presence, Lord, in the message today. We ask You, Father, to bless those that are shut in and of our number, those afflicted. So much suffering in our land today, Lord. So much trouble and trials and tribulations, Lord, that our people's going through. But just help us, Lord, to look always to You and trust in You, Lord, because You told us that You'd never leave us or forsake us. And You've given us faith, O Lord, to believe Your blessed Word. We know that Thy Word is truth. We rest, Lord, in Your unchanging grace. Help us this day, Lord, as we continue, Lord, in our worship service. Be with us, Lord, today as we speak from Your Word. For we ask these things in Christ's name, for His sake. Amen. Okay, stand. What's the next? Verse 7, chapter, or page 17. Okay. Brother Fred, would you come and receive the offering this morning? Father, we approach the throne of grace once again today. We thank you, Lord, for this gathering. Thank you, Father, for your goodness and mercy towards us in Christ Jesus. We pray, O Lord, that you would help us, O Lord, to worship you this day. And Lord, we pray that you'd bless the offering that's given, knowing, Father, that all that we have, Lord, is from your gracious hand. Help us, O Lord, with love and charity, Lord, to return a portion of what you've given us back to thee, Lord, for the furtherance of your gospel. We pray that you grant it in Christ's name. Amen. Go ahead, Stan. You got another one? 236. I'm moving a little slow this morning, but you guys pray for me. Our text, as we said, was 2 Timothy 1:9, He said, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not of our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, in today's religious world, not much thought goes into what folks say that they believe. It's more or less just religion that's been handed down through the generations. and they believe something. They say they believe in Christ. Much like the woman at the well, when our Lord went through that area, especially to see this woman, and she began to tell him that they worshipped in the mountains. He said, "You know not what you worship." And it's sad to say that much of religion in our day is people worship, and they don't. They use the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they don't have much thought in really what they believe. They believe that He died on the cross. They believe that He rose the third day. And He resurrected and went back to glory. And will return again to receive His people unto Himself. But when you start speaking scriptures to people, they don't seem to grasp who really Jesus Christ is, what He done, why He done it, and what He accomplished in His death. You know it, and I know it, and we were once there ourselves. That's why I can speak with some authority. I was in religion for many years, and in ignorance, I didn't understand these things. But there are some things that are essential for us to believe and to understand in order to worship God in spirit and in truth. Because if His truth is not there, His spirit is not there. And I know a lot of people, they say, "I know I'm a spiritual person." They don't even realize what spiritual is, what it means. They think it's emotion, feeling good, shouting. You know, it's an outward thing. I know they say, "I feel it in my heart." Well, God's people feel in their hearts also, but like the Jews, Paul said, "I bear them record." They have a zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge. They, being ignorant of God's righteousness, are going about establish their own righteousness and have not submitted to the righteousness of God. It's a little off of what I am going to preach on, but it's important for people to understand these things. So, modern religion is shallow at best. And people are moved by emotion and force of excitement. When you try to engage people in discussion, you'll find that not many know anything about scriptures except a few well-publicized verses that are, for the most part, taken totally out of context. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready to give an account, give an answer to every man that asketh you for a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." That requires some knowledge. And I've asked people, you know, "Well, what do you base your belief that you're saved upon?" I just know I'm saved. I feel like I know I'm saved. There's no knowledge there. Why are you saved? How are you saved? When Paul wanted to influence his son in the faith, Timothy, he reminded him of solid doctrinal truth, which he knew him to believe. Some preachers are able to excite people but are never instructing them. Spurgeon said they carry a lot of fire but little or no light. God said if they speak not according to the law and the prophets, it's because there is no light in them. There's a light here in on Big Cove in Cherokee, North Carolina, but there's not much light anywhere else around here. A religion that's based upon and sustained and maintained simply by excitement will be a flimsy substitute for the truth, for the true worship of God. Men must be enlightened and instructed in the truth. Scriptural doctrine must furnish us with powerful motives to act upon. What is the doctrine that Paul is teaching here? Well, number one, Paul declares that God is the author of salvation. He said, "Who has saved us and called us?" And Jonah 2:9 affirms this doctrine and says, "Salvation is of the Lord." Well, most people believe that salvation is up to them. It's in their hands. It's in their decision. But scriptural doctrine says salvation is God's. It belongs to Him. He gives it to whom He pleases, when He pleases, where He pleases. It's not in men's hands whether to reject or receive. It's in God's hands. It is God who enlightens and gives men understanding. When Paul wrote, "Who has saved us and called us," and notice the order that that's in. A lot of people think there's things in the Bible that's been inverted, but that's not so. It's just like when they were at Pentecost. It says when the Gentiles heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, they were glad. And it says, "As many as were ordained unto life believed." Some people want to turn that around and say that was a misprint. What he meant to say was all those who believed were ordained to eternal life. No. When were his people saved? Well, in reality, even before he died on the cross. In reality, he chose his people from the foundation of the world. But that salvation was consummated by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross of Calvary. He saved us and called us. Well, he refers to all three persons of the Trinity when he said that. Number one, the Father has saved us in Ephesians 1, 3 through 6. And Romans 8, 28, it describes them who are the called according to His purpose. The Father has saved us according to His purpose. Men have purposed many things and had a will to accomplish them, but men do not have the power to accomplish what they purpose and will. We may purpose to do something particular, some particular thing, or to go to a particular place, or we'll accomplish our intent. But things can happen to disannul our desires. we may find that providence has blocked our way. How many times have you decided you were going to do something and something happened and you didn't get to do it? You see, we don't always have the power. But God does. He is all powerful. Satan had a purpose and a will, didn't he? Isaiah 14, verses 13 and 14, he said, "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, and I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High." That was Satan's will. That was his purpose. How's your will compared to his? Well, he couldn't do it. Because God is in charge. You're not, and Satan's not. I know he can cause a lot of problems. But like Tim has said, he's just an ape on God's leash. He can't do anything God don't want him to do. The Son has saved us. Now, I just said the Father saved us. The Son has saved us. Christ, in order to fulfill the covenant that He made with the Father, came to this earth and took on the form of a man, and indeed was man, born under the law to fulfill the law and to lay down His life to redeem every one of those that the Father had chosen from the foundation of the world. They were called His sheep, His sons, His elect. They are the children of God. Matthew 1:21 said, "And she shall," speaking of Mary, the one who gave birth to our Lord, it says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Well then, who are his people? Well, many would have you to believe that everybody is his people. And his mission is to try and to save everyone. Isn't that what religion for the most part believes? That's not the Scriptures. That's not God's Word. This is God's Word. John 10:22 says, "And it was at Jerusalem at the Feast of the Dedications, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple of Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him, and they said unto him, How long are you going to make us wait?" Paraphrasing that. "How long dost thou make us to doubt? If you're the Christ, won't you just tell us plainly?" Jesus answered them, he said, "I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. You've got the law and the prophets. They told you the things that I do. Tells you that I'm he who was to come, that I am the Messiah. I told you, and you didn't believe me. But you believe not because you are not my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." So, scriptural. Everybody is not his sons. Everybody is not his children. He didn't come to seek and to save every man and woman on this earth indiscriminately. He come here for His sheep. And He just plainly told these people they weren't His sheep. So then, Christ came to seek and to save His sheep. And He said they would hear His voice and they would follow Him. It is plain from His speech that only His sheep can and will hear His voice. And all others will not hear because they are not His sheep. How many times in the Word of God does it say, "He that hath an ear, let him hear"? Everybody don't have an ear to hear. Yeah, they hear physically, but they can't hear His voice. You know what? They're not His sheep. That's a real unpopular religion. Don't want to hear that. They don't believe that. John 6:44-46 says, "No man can come to me." Our Lord said that. "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I'll raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." You know, men need to be taught. And preachers and teachers who know God and know the gospel can teach men. There's nothing wrong with preacher schools. There's nothing wrong with universities if they're teaching the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me tell you something. A teacher can teach men's heads, but only God can teach a man's heart. Only God can write His words in a man's heart. Teachers can't do that. No man can come. The Holy Spirit has saved us. I told you the Father has saved us. The Son has saved us. And now we're talking about the Holy Spirit has saved us. Who but the Holy Spirit gives us power to understand the gospel? The gospel is by revelation of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." So being spiritual is more than a feeling. Being spiritual is knowing God. Being spiritual is being taught by God. Being spiritual is having the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ revealed to your hearts by the Holy Spirit. Verses 7 and 8 in that chapter says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for they had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." So He don't teach every man. He don't reveal every man. But to His sheep, men like to boast of free will. But Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." He's the instructor, the comforter, the quickener. men are dead by nature, they're dead spiritually. The Father has saved us in the planning, the Son in redeeming, and the Holy Spirit in the applying of the redemption. All must be spoken of as God, the triune God. Who can say that we save ourselves or that we've helped in any way to save ourselves? Religion says we're saved by grace. They use the words. But most believe that Christ died indiscriminately for every person, which means that Christ's death only makes salvation a possibility. It is only efficacious if a person lets God save them, that the blood of Christ is only effective if we, the creature, puts our seal of approval on it. That's not scriptural. That's not His Word. Men talk about accepting Christ as their Savior. And preachers beg men and women to please accept Jesus. Mankind is in his state of nature is no more than a maggot on a dunghill. And they have the arrogance and the impudence to believe that they have to accept something of God. Let me read to you Philippians 3. I should have had that marked, but I didn't. Philippians 3:12. Paul speaking to the Philippian church. He said, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ." Apprehended of Christ. That's a wonderful way of putting it. But that's what God does with His sheep. He apprehends them, just like He did Paul. He apprehended them, just like a fugitive would be apprehended by the law. The law convicted and kills, but Christ makes alive. Oh, to be apprehended by Him. My friends, if God don't accept you and He leaves you to your arrogant self-proclaiming free will, you will perish. According to Scripture, we are born into this world dead spiritually, dead in trespasses and sin, blind from birth, blind to anything spiritual. Can a blind man give himself sight? Can death reach out and take hold of life? The saved of God are new creatures in Christ Jesus. They're a new creation. It's the new birth. Being born again, born from above. Did we have anything to do with that birth? No more than we had to do with our natural birth. It's God. Salvation's of God. Salvation's of the Lord. Salvation's of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ tread the winepress alone, and He finished the work of salvation on Calvary's tree. When He cried, "It is finished," the work was done. It was finished. He didn't make a down payment on your salvation and then leave you with something to do. He took away our bondage and He set the prisoner free. We're free. If Christ set you free, you're free. Quit worrying about your righteousness. He is your righteousness. His people can lay down and go to sleep at night and know that the work is finished. You didn't finish it. He finished it on Calvary. And He said, going back to our scripture, He said, "And He called us by a holy calling. All for whom the Savior died are in due time called by the Spirit into holiness, not because of any foreseen holiness in us." There wasn't any holiness in us. We were dead in trespasses and sin, fallen in Adam, sinners by choice and practice. As I said before, men like to boast of their supposed free will. And our Lord told the religious people in that day, He said, "You won't come to Me. You come. If you come, it will be because grace inclines your heart. It'll be because the Holy Spirit apprehended you and revealed something to you that you didn't know before. He revealed unto you the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And you loved Him. Because He loved you first. John 6:65 says, And He said, "Therefore I said unto you, that no man can come unto Me except it be given unto him by My Father. It is the Holy Spirit that makes them willing in the day of His power." Religion says, live good as you can, go to church and give your tithes and offerings. Be of good report. In other words, behave yourself and God will save you. That's not Scripture. That's not God's Word. But that's what religion says, for the most part. Stand on your good works and hold fast to your own righteousness, and God will damn your soul. Didn't they say on that day, when that day before they stood before the Lord and they said, "Lord, we've done many wonderful works in Your name. Depart." He said, "Depart from Me. I never knew you. You're not My sheep. I don't know you." But according, He said in our scripture lesson, it says, but according to His own purpose and grace, not according to man's purpose and merit, but His purpose He said, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated unto the purpose of Him that worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Romans 9 said, for He saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Men don't know anything about those scriptures. He said, which was given us. This wondrous thing was given us. He said, where then is boasting? It doesn't say which were sold us or was offered to us. I've had men to tell me that faith is a gift of God. But they had to receive that gift. They could reject it. That men have power and the right to turn down the gift of faith. If it were so, you would have something to boast in. In other words, if they say they're saved, they say, I was wise enough to take God's offer. Take God up on His offer. How can man say that? But they do. In Christ Jesus, He said, all the blessings of God are in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He is our mediator and our intercessor. Before the world began, where were you before the world began? Where were your marriage there? God's sheep are virtually saved in the beginning, but not actually. He said, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. When was this beginning? Well, I know it was before I believed on Christ. I know it was before I was born. I know it was before Christ died for me on the cross over 2,000 years ago. You know when the beginning was? Turn to John 1, verse 1. He said, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That was the beginning. He said, God hath chosen you from the beginning. What a wondrous thing. That God's in His purpose, and His purpose always stands. He declared the end from the beginning, and His word shall never fail. He chose a people, and He gave them to His Son, that in time, that He would come and redeem every one of them by the shedding of His own blood. Religious men hate these doctrines because they expose their self-image. It strips men of pride and self-worth. But it makes some people glad. It's a comfort to those who have ceased from their labors of trying to produce a righteousness that at best are filthy rags. He tells us to cease from our labors and rest in Christ. Isn't that what He told His disciples in Matthew 11, He said, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. What a rest. They no longer try to keep on keeping on because the work is finished. and they rest in Christ. Father, we thank you again for this opportunity. To tell men and women about you, about your glory. Your glory in saving lost sinners. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.